April is National Poetry Month, and Public Radio 90 presents readings by poets from the Northern Michigan University and surrounding communities. Today we'll hear poetry by Carol Oberg from Gooseneck Lake in the Hiawatha National Forest in Upper Michigan, who studied at Badenoch Community College and has had works published by Blue Mountain Arts and a Christian literary magazine where she was nominated for a Pushcart Prize, and soon in The Fourth River, a work out of Chatham University in Pittsburgh.
The wars that one cannot win. I scratched, pinched, bit my way through today as if I didn't come from a long line of God-fearing folk, but from Darwin's monkeys being provoked with pokes of fun by human aliens all safe on the other side of the hellish cage. I dug a deep trench, hiding safely behind garbage bags of self-pity, then started a sunrise war with my defenseless family, went on to battle an army of co-workers until lunch hour found me picking fights with unarmed cashiers, shoppers, fruit vendors, with noses lifted so high in the air they could probably identify by smell the flowers in heaven but not tell me. I missed when I tried to kick a snarling dog on the leash of a snarly man, both of whom barked at me with mouthfuls of long white teeth, crooked like the interlacing necks of hungry trumpeter swans, I saw later while sitting on the bench, but didn't care to feed. Beating at home, I blasted the horn, shook a mean finger at a gang of elementary kids playing dodgeball in the street, then couldn't find a song on the car radio that didn't fill me up with great big fall irritation. Saying prayers while I brush my teeth and my husband snores, I ask God why he gave me the burden of so much anger today, even though I know he didn't, will mercifully forgive and help me once I accept the blame, humbly drop to my knees to pick up the empty cartridges of my wicked weapons of words and deeds that I pray have left no permanent wounds in the lives of others. All that I have won today is the flag of guilt, slapping me in the face with the filth of my own hands, a flag at half staff with its metal pole jammed deep into the shallow ground of my soul. Just a Robin. You I recognize, the familiar one everyone on earth can name. I am lazy enough to watch you take a sandy stroll across my forest yard, stopping along the way to show me your proud-breasted profile, a tiny statue replicating eagles on their thrones atop the tallest pines. You spot me on my balcony, unafraid, but curious for only a moment, pecking at the ground so dry we fear worms have abandoned it for good. I see you pick up pieces of white birch, dirty leaves, scraps from an old picnic, and I suddenly wonder if a long-lost member of your family lived in the town 50 miles away almost 50 years ago when I was a child sleeping overnight at Grandma's, watching her smile walk out the back screen door on the fairest of mornings like this one, throwing handful after handful of breadcrumbs from her apron pockets onto the wide front lawn. Maybe you have heard tales of this kind of human compassion, where feeding your kind was a pleasurable daily habit. Folks from which I descended, examples I should or could have followed, but sadly, for you and me, have let fly far, far away. The doors angels open. The ugly black boots stomping down Main slightly ahead of me, gray sweatpants carelessly stuffed into them, made me mistake her for a bag lady, especially when she slung open the tavern door. I, too, a passing stranger in a strange town, was about to enter. I quickened my pace to grab the open heavy door, fumbling around in my trouser pocket for some loose change I could afford to give her a propositioned. Then came the rush of loud drunken men, apparently friends in collusion, that life right here, right now, gets no finer than this. Large, hard-worked hands slapped flannel-shirted backs in joviality, massaged encouragement into slumped shoulders, hoping to rise them proudly back up. There seemed to be a bet hanging in the smoky air that nothing at all is impossible on nights like these. First one head swiveled around, then the domino game of tattling elbows had everyone looking at the woman except for one man, frozen smack dab in the center of the now quiet bar. So Ray Price singing "For the Good Times" on the jukebox sounded excruciatingly sad, like happiness swiped off earth. His thick neck raised the round balding head to the beveled mirror where he met her plain wide face, and I swear his eyes sobered in that moment before two comrades helped him stand to make the slow short journey to the waiting lady who waited with no twisted crease of anger or disappointment in her stoic expression. After a couple firm steps, she took his arm gently, maneuvering them both towards the door, somehow making it appear he, thoroughly inebriated, was leading the way. I rushed to open the windowless door where she turned to speak to the silent crowd, words I will never forget, epitomizing the dignity of love that prefers better over worse, every time, every single time. "His son wants to kiss him goodnight," she said in an unmistakably angelic voice, "and so do I." I let the doors close softly in that dingy, foul-smelling tavern. A profound moment of silence unanimously reigned.
These National Poetry Month readings are a Public Radio 90 production, recorded and produced in the facilities of WNMU-FM at Northern Michigan University. I'm Stan Wright. Thanks for listening.